Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 28th, and Rachel and I are here.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful day. We're energized. You ate.
I did.
And that's a good thing.
I'm excited.
Yeah, huh? It gives you energy, right? In the morning?
It does. It does. And I have a show tonight at the Ice House in Pasadena.
I love the Ice House. My favorite. Which room? The big one? The small one?
The main room.
The main room?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's my second time in that
room. What time does it start? Maybe I'll be able to come.
8 p.m.
8. I might actually be able to come. Do you know what order you're in? Like, no.
I won't know until I get there.
Yeah. Because I only finish at 8 here, but maybe I'll be able to come at 8:30 or something. So we'll see. But at any rate, are you excited? What's the name of the show tonight?
I don't know if there's like a... It's just... I don't know.
No name.
I don't know what the name of the show. I'll find out. Let me see. I'll find out.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
All right. Several comedians, I assume, right?
Yes. It's always a good show there.
It's a good place. You know what they used to shoot there was Rosie O'Donnell's show. Now, this is from the days of VH1. And
it's called Terrific Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. That's good enough for me. But so, you know, Rosie O'Donnell got started. She was a stand-up comic. They used to have a show on VH1 called Stand-Up Spotlight.
Mm.
And they would feature comedians, you know, like live performances.
They should bring
comedians.
That stuff back.
They really should, you know.
I read, my mom sent me an article about how comedy is having like a boom or something.
Yeah. I mean, I remember there were a lot of comedians I knew back then or that I got to know from that show. And that's where I first knew Rosie O'Donnell before she really became big.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it was shot at the Ice House way back then. But you're talking about, like early 90s, man. Yeah. But it's still there, and a lot of people got started there. A lot of comedians started there, so it's pretty cool. Now, when you go in the comedy circuits, is it pretty much always the same people, or...? Is there ever a time where you don't know somebody then?
I mean, I'm still very new. Like, I'm only a year in, and I'm constantly meeting new people. But you see the same people oftentimes at the same places over and over. So, and usually those are the ones who are going to stick around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they've been doing it, so.
Yeah, and they get around. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Good. Like, I was at a show last night supporting a friend of a friend, and there's a comedian that came up who's on a bunch of TV shows, and you wouldn't know her. She's young. I don't know if you would know her, but like everyone in the comedy scene knows her, and she's so incredibly nice every time you talk to her, which is refreshing for comics and especially female comics. But she's just always like, I don't know. And I see, she's going to be huge. Like, she's only been doing it for 4.5 years, but you're going to see her forever. So
really? So yeah. She's funny.
Oh, she's amazing. She does characters, and she's beautiful and super funny.
So do you think comedians have to like find their own voice sort of?
Oh yeah. They say it takes 10 years for you to find, like, I think unfortunately Louis C.K. said there's a famous quote. He says, I've been doing comedy for, I don't know how, 30 year, however, but he's only been funny for the last 10 or, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, usually it takes at least 10 years for you to find your voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get your work cut out for you then.
Yeah. Well, there are things you can do. There are things if you, like, that's just if you're starting out or whatever. But I think, like, I've been writing for a long time. You know, and I think that's just, you just have to keep writing and keep performing, because then, you know, that's how you develop, like, who you are as a person, you know, as a character, and your different characters and your little bits and act outs. And that only goes comes out through time.
Yeah. Because, but things are moving faster in today's society too, you know. I don't think 10 years is way back then.
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. That's coming from a white male perspective, and there's so many of them in comedy. And that's from someone who is at the top. But the comic I was talking to last night, her name is Becky Robinson. She's amazing. Look her up on social media. She was on a bunch of MTV shows. So anyways, she's been doing it. I'm sure she's been doing other stuff, but here in LA, like 4.5 years. And I was like, dang, you know, like to see all that she's accomplished in four and a half, I was like, wow, you know, like, let's see what we all, you know, if only I stick to something like that. Right. What I'm good at, you know, so we'll see. It's cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. As long as you enjoy the ride and the journey, you know, then, you know, when you get there, you get there, you know, but the bottom line there is was to enjoy what
I went doing. To, I went to the Comedy Store potluck open mic last night, which is their version of the open mic where you go, you write your name down, they post a list 45 minutes later of who's going to get 3 minutes to come up, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not, and then this isn't, this, you just, the Comedy Store is like where you want to be as a comic. Like, ideally, you want to be there, you
right,
know?
Right.
So you have to show your face, you have to support, you have to go, even though you don't get up. And the first woman they had come up, she's got to be in her like 70s. Mm. She was so funny though.
Really?
Yeah. But it was just, to see her, it's inspiring to see someone like her, you know, get up there and just, that's what she wants to do for the rest of her life is like make people laugh.
Well, there you go. Whatever makes you happy, you know, that's the bottom line, really.
Yeah.
You don't want to do shit that you don't like. Life is too short for that. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. I think they're trying to call in now, but this is too early. We're going to be talking about an app and the service they're providing, which sounds pretty interesting. So the Grammy nominations are out, and I barely know anybody here, really. It shows you how much in touch I am with music these days. But let's see. How many of those? Are you familiar with today's music pretty much? Do you listen to today's sound? Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Bruno Mars, Childish Gambino, Louis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber. Do we know that one? Probably not. Another Child Gambino here.
Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino, right.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars, Songs of the Year, Despacito, 444 issues. Then there's like an 800 number. That's a song? 1-800-273-8255. Well, there used to be a song like that anyway. 8765, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. Best New Artist, Alicia.
No idea who
is. Khalid.
I like Khalid.
Lil Uzi Vert, Julia Michaels, and SZA. So, yeah, I don't know any of these. I know Best Pop Solo Performance. I know Kelly Clarkson, Keisha, Lady Gaga, Pink, Ed Sheeran. So I know all of these. Okay. So these are like the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask me any of their songs? I don't know. Lady Gaga I like. Million Reasons, is that a good song? Have you heard it?
Gaga's? I've heard it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all right.
Yeah, maybe you should listen to it, because I like her, but I want to see if I like it at all, you know? So, Million Reasons. Okay, so let's see what that is about. And Lady Gaga. Okay, I'm gonna fast forward this a little bit. What is this? Oh, it's part of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Million reasons, about a million reasons. If I had a country song. For the hills, if you could find
a what?
A country song.
It's not country.
No.
The last thing Lady Gaga is country.
Definitely not her style, though. You know,
it's a ballad.
I like it, but it's different.
It is her style.
She's dressed
she does.
Sort of like
she
a
has.
Cowboy.
She has. she has a range. Like when she first came to the scene, it was dance music,
right?
And then her stuff, I mean, she has still that, but she also puts like powerful messages in her songs, like you know, yeah. So she has a bunch of like, so that's, but yeah, you're maybe, but I don't ever, would never consider her to be a country.
Right. I never would, but some people do crossover music. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know? I would never say she's a country singer, but it sure sounded like a country song. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe that was the objective there. But I know several songs that sound like country songs, but they're not country songs. So go figure, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's, yeah, so 1-800-273-8255. What happens when you call that? They probably have some kind of, they probably play the song.
Maybe it's like the
song,
suicide
right?
hotline.
You think?
Maybe.
I don't know, wow. Yeah, there's got to be some kind of message behind it. Hmm. Dictionary.com named the word of the year.
Complicit.
Complicit it is.
Mm-hmm.
Complicit. So they try to explain what it is.
Yeah, because Ivanka Trump or whatever, the daughter of Hitler. What is her name? Ivana or Ivanka?
Ivanka Trump told CBS, I don't know what it means to be complicit.
Yeah.
Hmm. The day Senator Jeff Flake announced his retirement, I will not be complicit. See, I for one like him, man.
Yeah, but he was trolling. He was trolling them.
But that's why he's not going to get reelected because, you know, he's going to lose his base. But, yeah, so it's choosing to be involved in an illegal or questionable act and having partnership or involvement in wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what complicit is. And the word of the year, man. Wow. SNL created fragrances for Ivanka Trump that are called complicit.
Yep.
Wow.
They're just the worst.
Yeah. I don't know how we ended up with this shit, man. You know who's coming back is Jersey Shore.
Yep. We did you ever watch this? Did you ever watch this? I did see that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Never watched it. Is it good? Is it like a train wreck?
Remember in the elevator on the way up and you're like, maybe this is a reflection of our society.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are, right? A reflection of our society.
I mean, I just think that that's what a lot of society finds entertaining.
Yeah, right?
Things
yeah.
like that. And
so
the
what do
Apprentice.
They do on the show? Do they just talk? Is it like... Housewives or something.
They get
hold on, hold that thought.
Top drunk,
yeah,
and belligerent.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll continue talking about that, but we're going to take our guest right now. And good morning to you. We're going to be joined by Sumit Sika. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi. How's it going, Ben?
Good. Good morning. Good morning. I know you were calling earlier, but we weren't ready to take the call yet. I'm glad you persisted and called back.
Oh, yeah. No, I just know exactly what time it's going to start. I'm glad we can make this happen.
Awesome. So you're here in L.A., right?
Yeah, we're based out of here in L.A. We live in Santa Monica. We work out of here in Santa Monica.
Oh, cool. Now, so tell us what it is that you guys do. Is it called Critique?
Yeah, Critique.
Okay,
as long as you use it, we don't care what you call it. It's an app that focuses just on the food of the restaurant.
So
instead of telling you what restaurants are good, we tell you what's good at a restaurant.
Based on
your diet preferences. So we know everyone here in Santa Monica or in LA is gluten-free. So you can quickly filter out all the gluten-free options or vegetarian options, whatever you may be looking for when you get to the restaurant.
Oh.
Or just hungry around you.
So you guys have to actually go in and eat all the food, or how do you figure that out?
Why don't you guys come join us next time? You and Rachel, you guys can come to one of our critic nights.
Yeah.
And you get to try all with us.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. So you guys go out and you try different stuff at different restaurants?
No, we do, but a lot of our users do it for us.
I was going to say, is it kind of like Waze? You know how like Waze has like self-reporting traffic where it's like the users submit, there's a police report ahead or whatever, and that keeps things up to date and current to the moment, you know, to the second, really.
Right.
It's exactly.
Like, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is an app that people use.
Yeah, it's a very, very basic app. You get to take a picture of your food, which a lot of people do anyway.
Yeah, right.
And you attach a rating to it. So there's no comments in our app. So it's just a photo and a rating of the item.
Oh.
And that's enough. That's enough information for you to know what it is.
Right, and it's pretty fast, too. You know, you don't have to start writing your review. You just there.
Right.
And, yeah, that's pretty cool. So so I would imagine it would be a challenge. I always wondered, you know, to get something like this off the ground. How long does it take to actually get, like, a good user base where it actually becomes useful?
You know, it takes a little bit of time to do that, but what we've done differently is we've actually partnered up with restaurants.
Oh.
So we allowed the restaurants to actually go and upload their content from their photos to their diet specifics of each dish because they know their menu better than we do.
Right.
And so it's been very, very helpful to go in and work with some of the best restaurants. We work with Fig in Santa Monica, Spoon and Lebanese Cafe here in Santa Monica and Westwood.
Awesome.
So we're working with tons of restaurants right now, but it's better that they get to upload their own content and provide better descriptions of stuff, especially dietary information. So it works better for us. We work with them in the partnership to promote the product within the restaurant.
Right, right. That sounds pretty. So how did this idea come about for you? I see you have a partner as well. We might as well give him a shout out.
He's just getting back from Hawaii this morning. So,
oh wow,
he wasn't able.
He knows how to live.
We do have our. Yeah, he went with his girlfriend. They went on a much needed trip over Thanksgiving. So it's good for them to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, we do have our director of marketing. His name is Hemang. He's on the phone as well right now.
Oh, hi Hemang. How are you?
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
You too. Thank you for joining us. So, how did you guys get together?
So, we actually, the idea came out about a year and a half ago. We went out to eat one day, and then after I got home, my friend asked me, like, how was it? Did you like the lamb? And I said, I didn't know I had to get the lamb. I didn't walk in. When I walked in, there wasn't a sign that said, welcome.
So right.
Make sure you try the lamb tonight.
Right. So, you don't know what's the
feature. You go into restaurants. And you're at the mercy of some people that want to push different items on you.
That's
But yeah, it was unfortunate. And that happened a couple of different times. And that's when I came up with the idea of finding the best food at each restaurant. So, you know, your experience is wonderful from day one.
Right, right. Totally makes sense. So, hey, man, what do you do there at the company again?
Yeah, so I execute the marketing and all their events that we're pursuing. So I came on board a few months ago, essentially just to get, like you were mentioning, get the word out to expand the user base, user growth, and generate obviously more reviews and photos to be shared so that when a new critic user comes on board, they have like the biggest library of rated dishes around them. So essentially, I come from an advertising background, so I've helped a variety of different brands in the past, you know, execute their marketing campaigns. So when I ended up meeting with Sumit, you know, it really excited me because I have interacted with other apps that are in the same field in the past and definitely saw, you know, a better product here, and it got me really excited to come on board and to, you know, help bring, you know, something new and fresh to, you know, the masses. So my goal in the next few months is to, you know, get the word out there to let, you know, food and drink, you know, enthusiasts know that there's this app out here, Critic, that allows you to, you know, cut to the chase and find out, you know, what's good before you even walk in the door. And, you know, just to share some great reviews with your peers.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good. So the app is called Critic or Critique. It's spelled C-R-I-T-Y-K. And I guess you have it available for for the iPhone and for Google Play. So people can find it there. Now, so how long has the app been around now?
So we've been on around a little over 6 months now, and then really focusing with our users about the last 2-3 months. We've released a new product just a few weeks ago. So we've listened, you know, with technology, it's very iterative, and so you have to keep listening to your users and making a better product. So we just recently launched this version about a few weeks ago.
Congratulations to you guys. So, Yeah, I mean, this is something obviously you had to put in a lot of work and stuff. But that's amazing, you know. So now, did you have, Sumi, did you have any background in programming or anything, or was it more your business idea and then you looked for people to implement it for you?
Yeah, so actually, I've been in healthcare finance my whole entire life. However, growing up, my parents owned a restaurant, and I worked a lot in the restaurant. I've always wanted to be involved in the restaurant space, but I saw this this idea come out and started talking to a lot of chefs, and really wanted to make sure we could help out the chefs, and that's what kind of drove me to this product. So yeah, we developed the idea. I don't have a tech experience, but I've over the last 2 years now I've learned a lot about it. So,
yeah, and you've connected with the right people.
Yeah, I got connected to the right people to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so tell people how they can find out more. Do you have a website, or should we just go to the Apple Store and look it up?
We have a website. It's critic.com.
Okay,
you guys can check us out. Like Sam mentioned, we're on the Google Play and App Store already. So check the app and start rating your food and make sure you get to share it with your friends, because at the end of the day, you know what your friends like and your friends know what you like. So
right, exactly. You know, and it's not, and it's not reviews of just strangers. At least you have some people you can trust that might like the same things you do, you know. It's a very innovative thing. You know, I congratulate you for that. You know, and wish you, you know, a lot of growth, a lot of success. I think if you have the perseverance and the patience, I think it'll work. I mean, that's a big thing to undertake, you know, so I commend you for that.
It is.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's a lot of fun. We've been fortunate to make some really good partnerships as well over the last couple of months, so we're very excited.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Sumit Sika and Heyman also, right? How can people find you? You have the website and stuff. Do you have any social media where people can go?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram. It's at Critic, CRITYK. We're pretty heavily active on there. And we're going to be continuing to grow on Facebook as well. So, you know, facebook.com/critic. So you can find us on those two apps currently. We also have a Twitter, and, you know, we're slowly expanding our social presence. But, you know, definitely you can see our partner photos, lots of delicious food photos that we share on Instagram that are from our partner restaurants. So, you know, I would definitely say to get to Instagram first, and from there, obviously download the apps and start reviewing. And we'll also be doing Critic Nights, which are private dinner events, slowly but surely over the next few months here in Los Angeles. So if you start using the app, you might get a notification to be invited to a private dining event.
Oh, wow. Always going for food, man. Always more food. Yeah. I'll go, you know. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Critic is the name of the website, critic.com, C-R-I-T-Y-K. And again, congratulations to you and all the best.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, interesting stuff, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, because people like to rate things all the time, review and rate, you know?
Well, there. I mean, it's
and
just
people
like
to
Yelp,
see the reviews.
Exactly. Like Yelp is, you have to do so much digging to get there to find that dish. And sometimes some restaurants won't even show you, but like what the most popular thing is. And
And besides, you know, the ratings on Yelp, I don't trust them very much. You know, people often get mad. They try to get back at the restaurant or whatever it is.
Truthfully,
but
though, that's very few and far between. You will get those, but like,
but it really knocks down the rating. I mean, they're like, if you don't give a 5 on those systems.
Yeah, no, of course. But know? I mean, it's like, that's not going to make or break something, you know?
Well, I'm telling you, I talked to a couple of people that have restaurants, and they're saying you don't know how important Yelp is.
Right. I mean, it's important. I think it's important, but I think that, yeah, you're always, there's always going to be someone who leaves a nasty review.
Right. That's why I don't look so much at the star rating. I just look at Yelp more to find out what restaurants are available, which ones are open, which ones are around. But the reviews, this sounds a lot better, you know, because you can see it. You can see all the food beforehand. You go, wow, let's have that. Let's see what restaurant it's at, you know. Huh. Sounds pretty interesting. Well, that's cool. I love people that come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
Very cool. So we talked yesterday a little bit about the royal wedding. So it's like the talk of the world, I guess, right now. And we were talking downstairs about the royalty in England, right?
Right.
And you mentioned Kim Kardashian, and it was so funny because I read somewhere, you know, somebody said, you know, these celebrities are our royalty, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like we don't have the princes and the prince, so we have the Kardashians.
Right.
You know.
Unfortunately.
That's who we're interested in, you know, for gossip and things like that.
Right.
But it's very exciting, you know. They're saying the wedding is going to be very expensive, looking at about $670,000. So about $750,000 for the wedding.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But people will pay it. What the hell? It's a
they're the royals.
Extravaganza, you know? Yeah, and England will give anything for that. So there you go. I guess it kind of reminds them of old times or something, although they hated the monarchy. But now that it's just symbolic, it's fun, I guess. I don't know. And it's also, you know, it's kind of an emotional story that their mother died and then they were babies, little kids, and now they're all grown, you know, doing their own thing. It's almost like watching a soap opera, you know, where they have a baby and then he grows and, you know, grows up and becomes a person. And he has a baby and she has grandkids. And it's like, wow, the saga continues. They used to have shows like that when I was young. They'd bring him from England, like The Forsythes, for example. That was like a show that spanned a few generations. And I got into it. I was only like 10 years old or something, but what can I say? So, so we were saying she's the first American, I guess, to break into the royal family. And she said she's going to become, well, obviously a UK citizen once they marry and stuff. Now, we're asking who pays for this, and they're saying the royal family will pay for it. So this is going to take place in May 2018. And, you know, the wedding is usually, it falls on the bride's family. Did you know that? In many cultures, it's like that. Yeah. Not here, though, right? Or is it still traditionally the woman? I think it is. You know, although today people pay for their own weddings and stuff, but somehow it comes from old tradition, I guess. People wanted to marry off their daughters, so they would pay for it. Amazing. I mean, they used to have, like, dowry. You know what a dowry is?
Is that assigned?
This is like where the family of the bride brings something material to the man, to the husband.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, this is our gift to you, you know, for marrying your daughter. So, yeah, traditions die hard, man. Okay, we talked about this. Are you with me, Rachel?
I am here.
I mean, I'm trying to create conversation.
I'm here. I'm keep bringing up current events. Keep going. I mean,
okay,
there's only so much about the royal wedding I can talk about that hasn't already been talked
about. But let's talk
about
something you want to talk about. Do you want to go into God talk a little bit? Or we can go there.
God talk.
Yeah, we can go into philosophy a little bit. Anything you want. I mean, we eat a lot, so that kind of gets old after a while, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when you have your own show. So, but I mean, today we didn't really talk about weed. Do you want to talk about weed?
We talked about weed yesterday. We can talk about whatever
right.
you want. Keep bringing, what's going on in the news? What else is going
well,
on?
Well, that's it. I try not to bring up a lot of politics, you know, so
that's,
I don't
see,
know.
That's the thing is like, that's all.
That's all there is, right?
Everything else, I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, what more is there to say? You know what I'm saying? I think we know our situation pretty well right now, you know. But look at this headline. A mother faces felony charge after using recorder to thwart school bullies. So she put a recorder secretly in her daughter's bag because her daughter was bullied. She wanted to hear what's going on. Now, they found this at school, and they called the police. So now she's in trouble with the law. So the mother is, obviously.
Yeah.
So my question is, what the hell? What's wrong with it? You know, I mean, what's wrong with taking a recorder to class?
You can't record without people knowing, and their kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So they charge her with a felony, intercepting wire, electronic, or oral communications. Wow.
What state is this?
This is in Virginia.
Yeah, sounds like Virginia.
Yeah. I don't know, but don't you think the school should have called her first and asked her, what's your concern? Why are you doing this? And
schools,
she could have told them.
There's a lot of... I have a lot of friends who have kids, especially on Facebook, and I have this one friend in particular who has been going through some, like, bullying with her daughter. Like, her daughter's being bullied, horrible things. And she put up the whole story about just, like, what she's gone through from her daughter's perspective and as a parent, and the frustrations that occur when you do try to do the right thing and go to the school and whatever. And oftentimes, here's the thing about bullying. You have to be careful in how you approach it, because depending on how you approach it can oftentimes lead to retaliation and worse bullying.
Right.
So,
but she claims that she called the administration and they didn't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. And oftentimes parents will call the teachers and the school and they just don't do anything because whatever reason. So, I mean, I can understand as, like, a parent. I can only imagine, like, just the pain when your kid comes home crying every day.
Right.
My sister, I remember back in the day, my sister, there's this one girl who just gave my sister the hardest time, and I was like, I'm coming in to get you. And I came in to get my sister the next day, and I walked in with her, and I saw the girl, and I said, if you have a problem with my sister, you have a problem with me, or something. I said something to her, and I was like, and I told her to never talk to her again or whatever. And from that day forward, that girl never bothered
really
my sister.
Really scared her.
Oh, I just was like, don't fuck with my sister. Like, what's your problem? You're jealous.
Yeah. But no, I remember when the kids were very young and they'd come home crying and all this. It's like the first thing you want to do is just go to the parents, even yell at the kid, it's like, but you have to stop yourself and go, well, what's a civilized thing to do, And the administration often, or I don't know, sometimes maybe, don't help, So what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? It's a real thing when your kid comes home crying.
Well, I mean, that you remember how we talk a lot about schools have a responsibility to teach interpersonal skills. I think that there needs to be, this is how you treat one another. Not like, here's how you should act, but we need to be nice to one another. We need to share.
Right.
We need to respect other, we got to start teaching kids from a young age so that when they get older, it's not a surprise,
Right.
Different cultures, different religions, different backgrounds. And I think a lot of times that doesn't get taught at home because the parents don't have the capacity, the tools.
Well, then the parents are having a problem. It does start at home. And I know we differ on this.
Right.
We differ on this. You think the school should do the education. I think the
but
family.
But that's what school is for, to learn.
Yeah, no, to learn, absolutely. But when you talk about values and how to treat other people,
you're not going to get that a lot of times at home. A lot of parents never teach their kids that.
Well, then that's a terrible thing,
I know, but that's where the school should pick up the
responsibility. But I don't want my school to teach my kid about kids about, like, personal values, I mean, I do want them to teach them everything.
You don't want your school to advocate to be a good person?
No, absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying here are your values.
But how do you mean they're going to teach them? How?
They're Okay, so for example, because I have to break it down. It's just like team bonding exercise. You're not going to sit there and hold a class on here's. It's through team bonding exercises. It's through activities. I mean, there's so many ways to do things like that with kids without being like, here, learn how to be a person. I mean, if you're not going to learn it at home, then the problems are going to come out at school, and then the school is going to be forced to deal with it.
Right, right. No, so I agree.
It's better to just it's better for kids to learn how to get along at a young age than to just not possess those
right,
skills.
Right, but let me ask you this. What do you do with a troubled student? You have a student that disrupts the class. They're not a good student. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
no
always,
other school wants
yeah,
them.
There's always going to be kids like that, and there are schools that will accept kids that are troubled, and there are special schools for kids like that.
But they put them in regular schools, and then they disrupt everything. I'm telling
right.
you because
and that's
I was
what
a
I'm
substitute
saying.
Teacher.
Some kids are
around.
Not fit to be in a school like that.
Right,
that's why there's
right.
other special
but that's,
schools.
But I think that's a result of not getting the background at home, don't you think?
Which
but
is
the school
why
is not equipped to deal with that. Because I think
schools,
it's the base.
Some schools. There's always going to be a couple, or there's always going to be, not some schools, some kids. There's always going to be a couple kids that just, from whatever is going on at home, isn't going to fit into normal society. Those kids, that's
right.
there's prison but, for but, people but, like that too.
Right,
don't
but they
fit
need
into
personal
society.
Therapy and shit like that, right?
What I don't know what they need. Whatever they need, you know, a school should be a place where kids can feel safe to learn, to want to learn.
Right.
And that should involve
that
not just math,
argument.
Science, reading, whatever, but to learn how to grow up and to be in the world and to function and to have interpersonal skills. When you get to college, I was a communications major. It is so important to know how to communicate, because if you can't communicate in this world, you won't be able to hold a job. You won't be able to sustain a relationship. It's going to be very hard for you to fit into the world if you don't know how to communicate.
Right, right.
So I'm a communications major, and I took a variety of communication classes, all different, from everything from theory of communication to how we as humans learned how to communicate and what the theory is behind different types of communication to interpersonal, to how to communicate with different kinds of people, to radio, TV, broadcasting. I mean, I did it all. So I think that didn't teach me anything that I like. It didn't make me who I am. It just taught me that in the world that we live in, this is how it works.
Right, but that you took in college, right?
But what I'm saying is,
could you have learned this if you were like in junior high school?
That you didn't. I told you before, as kids, when I was a camp counselor, which is I was a sleepaway camp counselor at JCA Shalom in Malibu, where
right.
I went as a camper and became a counselor. You encounter different kinds of kids. And right off the bat, you need to just squash the beef. Whatever it is, especially with young kids, they can be mean. And you do that by forcing them to bond together and get to know each other through you start by knowing people's names, where they're from. I mean, through forcing people to have to work together and live
right.
together and
right.
eat together, there's always going to be people who don't get along.
Right.
But you have to promote a safe environment so that they can learn to be together. I mean, that's just
right.
a responsibility.
So it works, right? So
it
works
does,
for the
most
part.
For the most part. But like I said, there's always going to be kids. There's always going to be people who don't fall in line or who can't fit into the world. And they don't belong there because they belong. It's not that they don't belong. Then they need to learn. Or they're not going to be a part of society.
Right.
And we shouldn't have to accept
but
people
they're not
like
let's
that.
Say if they're not able to learn because there's problems at home, you know. And that's usually what it comes down to. It's personal
right, but,
things.
Right,
if you're
right,
not,
right,
if you're depressed.
And a lot of times kids grow out of it. They get the therapy they need or whatever it is, and they can function back in society and not be
true.
A shitty person.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there are those who don't learn, and they'll become, you know, maybe they become criminals or who knows, whatever. But I mean, I think that there are a lot of great schools out there, and for the most part, they do a good job of... you know, working with kids, but then there's always going to be, you know, there's always
right.
going to be problems.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, what's the harm in forcing kids to get along?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm arguing about. What I'm trying to say
not
is...
Not forcing, but encouraging the positive relationships between, you know?
That's fine, too, you know? But as far as how to deal with bullying and stuff, I would want to be responsible for teaching my kids that, you know? I'm not saying that...
Like, you don't want to teach your kids that?
I do. That's what I'm saying. I want to be the one to teach them that.
Right. Of course. Because it should come. That's, and I agree with you. It should come from the parents. But there are just certain things that...
Absolutely.
We have to also kids spend more time at school and with
than
these,
at home.
Than
right.
with anyone else.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You want them to be spending time with good people, and that's why I also think teachers should get paid more. I mean, they're... Right.
But what if the teacher starts, bringing in their own opinions into the classroom, you know, like,
you know, I
let's
really
say they bring politics,
you know,
to the little kids.
Well, you know what's interesting? Yeah. I went to a ton of different types of schools, private, religious, whatever, and most of my teachers took it very seriously and didn't tell us who they voted for, wouldn't comment on. It was purely educational because they knew they could get in trouble. Mm-hmm. You can get in trouble for that. So I think good teachers do a good job of keeping their personal views out of it and letting the kids determine what they... Every teacher I've never felt that a teacher... And I went to a Lutheran school. I went to Hebrew school. I mean, I never felt like a teacher made me feel that I need to... be somewhere politically, if that makes sense.
Right.
They would open up dialogue, discussion, or whatever. And not to say that some teachers don't do that, because maybe they do, but just I want to say good teachers don't involve their personal beliefs when it comes to teaching. They let the kids...
In your experience, you mean?
Yeah, but I went to I also went to four or five different schools.
Yeah, but it's still your experience. That's what I'm saying.
I think that it happens, but in public school it shouldn't, and those teachers get in trouble. Teachers are held accountable for this because, you know, students go home and talk to mom and dad, and they call the school if there's a problem.
Right.
And a lot of times they get written up in the news. Mm. You know, even like teachers there's like even books, certain books are still controversial that I'm like,
or when they send home like the Five Pillars of Islam and things like that, right? That's
when was that?
You know, when they send, there was some time, well, there was a couple times when the teachers actually sent like religious like assignments.
Was it a public school?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I took a class in school called Comparative Religion in high school where you learned every different religion.
Yeah, they show that, right. But this is different. I mean, this was different. It didn't look like, it didn't look acceptable. A lot of parents complained and they pulled it. You know, so I don't know.
I mean, honestly, if I was assigned, I wouldn't be offended if it was just like, here, if I was taking a class on different cultures and religions and they were like, here, read this, I'd be like, absolutely. You know, I had to read a ton of different kinds of books and backgrounds.
Yeah,
and
but
cultures.
If they were trying to push a certain religion, I would be...
I don't think that teacher... It didn't seem like the teacher was trying to convert the students. It was probably more of like a research historical thing.
Well, no, that was not the case back then. But we're talking about something neither one of us has all the facts.
I mean,
facts
Islam is like... There are certain parts of it that are beautiful, just like any other religion. So I don't see why that would have been a problem.
That wouldn't have been a problem. There's beautiful parts to everything, you know. Okay, so a final thing. They're saying that Hawaii now is going to, for the first time since the end of the Cold War, will test nuclear sirens, you know, because... like South Korea, for example, says that North Korea may be able to launch a nuclear missile next year. Now, that's pretty scary, you know. And you know they're going to hit Hawaii first, you know, or Guam, one of these places.
I mean, I just don't even think like that. That just seems very apocalyptic.
Right. I know. I hope we don't get to that, man. But look, we were close. We've been close before during the Cold War. I mean, we were very close on the brink. But...
I mean, honestly, I didn't even think we were going to make it till this week when Trump called him Little Rocket Man. You know, like, what was keeping him from...
Right. But, I mean, I remember Khrushchev and banging his shoe on the desk and stuff. I mean, it was like, we will bury you. And that was pretty tense times.
How long
ago
was that?
This was like in the 1960s.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Yeah. But no, but we were very close. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there was the Cuban missile crisis, you know, and that when the Russians were moving nuclear missiles to Cuba, and John Kennedy did not like that at all. So, and, you know, and I remember during the 80s, 90s, the Russians were like our biggest enemies, you know.
They're still our biggest enemy.
Yeah. But I know for a while they weren't. When Reagan came up, it's like we thought, oh, we're going to get a new Russia, but they're still the Soviet Union. Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. All right, folks, this is it for today. We thank the our guest, Sumit Sika, and Heyman also from Critic for calling in about their app and everything. Go out, get that on the in the App Store or Google Play. We are done for today. Rachel, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We love you, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.